let's do quick review. Second chapter. We did from 35, right? Last week? 35, 36, 37 we did, yeah. So just read the English translation. Text 35. The great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. Text 36. Your enemies will describe you in many unkind words and scorn your ability. What could be more painful for you? Text 37. O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. So, 37. So, any points, Prabhuji? It's 34, 35, 36. So, what are the points from text 35?
So, it says, so Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, like, he's talking to him in more colloquial terms, like what people would think, and he's becoming famous, and, it's for, I think he's trying to bring sense into him, like, if he backs up now, then he's not going to have a good life afterwards anyway, because he's still being famous, and for someone like a warrior like him, infamy is worse than death. Like, so kind of saying, hey, look, you are either going to die here or you can die the other way, so what's the point?
Yeah.
So if you fight, you actually are in a better position, because you either enjoy the spoils of the war, or you will enjoy heavenly, if you die here, you will be good to heaven.
Mm.
The other death is the worst kind of death that you can actually go and get. So he's trying to show him the path forward. He's saying the other one is not really as good as you think.
Mm. And also in text 35, right, in Purport Prabhupada clearly says that even if Arjuna leaves the battlefield, nobody thinks that he went out of compassion.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? They think, he is a coward.
He's coward. Yeah, and very same person for whom he is getting compassionate.
Yes.
They think that,
it's,
he's cowardly.
He's not really doing good. Duryodhana, Prabhupada mentions Duryodhana, Karna. And text 36, what's the definition of Aryan?
One who knows value of life.
More specific? There is a more specific definition, right? Aryans? Value of
how
life.
How to use life.
For
how to utilize the opportunity.
For self-realization. Right? Knows the value of life and works on the path towards the spiritual, path. And 37. What's the main gist of text 37?
Well, 37 is like, you will, if you get killed, or if you fight, you either get killed or you enjoy the, you win. If you win, it's good. If you get killed, it's good too, because you actually got all
that. And in this one, especially, what is Krishna doing here? In text 37, right? Especially Krishna is?
Commanding.
Mm. Right? He is telling, he is really clearly giving the instructions. Get up with determination and fight. So he is kind of, telling him to be a violent.
Mm.
Get to fight. And we discussed long, right? Lengthy, non-violence, all those things. And also here, Krishna is talking about the absolute duty, right? Don't worry about any loss or gain, nothing. In spirituality, it's all about absolute. Future verses we'll discuss that, about spiritual life.
You also said how people use 37 to go and take Gita
wrong way. Oh, yeah. So we discussed that last week, right?
Yeah,
they say, you know, Bhagavad Gita is full of violence. In Russia, they did recently, right? You remember? Anybody knows the case in Russia? But anyway, it was defeated. They all, and it actually, Bhagavad Gita got more publicity than ever, actually. All the media, everybody got more publicity.
You got to write.
Yeah.
Rajesh Prabhu was worried today.
How was it?
Because
going to go back half class.
Because?
Because of you.
Because he doesn't have right, so he was thinking how to go. Oh, then we told
somebody will come,
don't worry.
No,
you got so many rights. Okay, and other thing I wanted to, last week Rajesh Prabhu was asking me, like, you know, because we all the time we discuss so many practical applications, like for example, you know, we keep telling prasadam, no, we should offer and take prasadam, or you should chant, or you cannot go to movies, you cannot go to a restaurant, like, no, because we discuss all those practicals. So Prabhuji was feeling a little bit guilty, because, you know, Prabhu goes out to eat with families and all restaurants. So he was telling, you know, Prabhuji, I feel, you know, should I come to the class or no? Because he thinks, you know, all of us are strictly following everything, and he is not following. So he is feeling a little bit of guilty. Then I told him very clearly that, you know, even we don't follow everything 100% still. Like, for example, chanting, you have to chant really. Chanting means it's a very attentive chanting. And we don't do that. We are just trying. So every one of us, we are just trying to be, you know, to get into, try whatever we. Anyway, in spiritual life, you cannot say, you know, I am done, I am finished. There is nothing. Always there is an improvement. So everyone, all of us, we are trying our best to go to spirit. So I just wanted to bring, it's a very, so don't feel, because we have to share whatever knowledge is given. We cannot, you know, compromise on the knowledge, right? That's what Prabhupada did. Otherwise, Prabhupada would have made thousands of more disciples, like, you know, millions of disciples. But he never compromised on the knowledge. He used to give the knowledge, but he used to leave it up to the people to pick up based on their pace. Whatever they are comfortable, they pick up. So we are doing the same thing. We are just, you know, repeating whatever Prabhupada has given. So don't feel, you know, we have to, you know, only you have to follow, then only you can. Don't feel like that. So we are all together and we'll go. So
thank you.
That's the one point. So he's so sincere, he was asking last week, should I come or no to the class?
Rakesh, Rajesh. J&K
And I told him very clearly, no, the worst thing you can do is, you know, not coming to the class,
right,
thinking,
right.
You know, that you will be doing something wrong if you do that, you know, like that. But yeah, don't, we are all step by, it's a gradual process. So once you get knowledge, once, you know, you will realize it by yourself, actually, whatever you have learned, things will, you know, automatically change gradually, you know, you will only make the decision, nobody has to tell you to. Okay. 37, I think that's all, yeah. So in 37, yeah, it's all about no duality, that's why, you know, you will lose, win, gain, whatever. So Krishna is telling Arjuna to get up and fight. So, and also he's kind of giving an instruction, actually, there, directly. So now we'll go to text 38 today. सुखा दुखे समित्रत्वा लाभलाभो जयो जयो ततो युद्धाय युज्यस्य नैवं पापं प्राप्स्यसि सुखा दुखे समित्रत्वा लाभलाभो जयो जयो ततो युद्धाय युज्यस्य नैवं पापं प्राप्स्यसि.
Do you fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat? And by doing, you shall never incur sin. Do thou fight.
Yeah, do thou.
Shall I read the purport?
Yes.
Purport. Lord Krishna now directly says that Arjuna should fight for the sake of fighting, because he desires the battle. There is no consideration of happiness or distress, profit or loss, victory or defeat in the activities of Krishna consciousness. That everything should be performed for the sake of Krishna, his transcendental consciousness. So there is no reaction to material activities. He who acts on his own sense gratification, either in goodness or in passion, is subject to the reaction, good or bad. But he who has completely surrendered himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness is no longer obliged to anyone, nor is he a debtor to anyone, as one is in the ordinary course of activities. It is said, Devarshi Bhutapta Narnam Pitranam Na Kinkaro Nayam Ni Na Rajan Sarvatmana Ya Saranam Saranyam Gato Mukundam Parihitritya Kartam. Anyone who has completely surrendered into Krishna, Mukunda, giving up all other duties, is no longer a debtor, nor is he obliged to anyone. Not the demigods, nor the sages, nor the people in general, nor kinsmen, nor humanity or forefathers. That is the indirect hint given by Krishna to Arjuna in this verse, and the matter will be more clearly explained in the following verses.
So what is the reference, Prabhuji?
Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam. Yeah. Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter, 41st verse. So we did discuss this verse, right? I think in introduction we went through this one, right?
Yeah.
Especially the rituals and all that they do, right?
Yes.
For satisfying your forefathers.
Yeah. Yes.
See, we have so much of obligations, right? Actually, once you take birth, you are indebted to all these personalities, each one, even actually society, forefathers, sages, demigods. And we will not be able to do that, right? We will not be able to satisfy all of us, whatever the categories is given, we will not be able to satisfy. Even if you try your best, we'll always fall short. So what is this here? Without considering Abhidhamma, again, created from which you will never incur sin.
I'm talking about the duality here.
Yeah, so why does Krishna is defeating a point here, right? What was Arjuna's argument? I think first chapter, I don't know which reason.
I will incur sin. And
yes, by killing, the...
So that point is kind of...
So here it's kind of defeating. Yeah, it's defeating. And also Prabhupada is saying here, everything should be performed sake of Krishna. Owns either in goodness or in passion, is subject to reaction. So, what's wrong with the good work? There are a lot of pious people, right? We do all the good work, philanthropy, opening hospitals. There are so many good work, right? Mode of goodness. You can do a lot of work in mode of goodness. So, what's wrong with here? Prabhupada is saying either in goodness or in passion, is subject to the reaction, good or bad. So, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with philanthropy or opening hospital? It's a very pious pious activity, yeah.
We have to again take birth to enjoy whatever. It's all karma related, not akarma related. We discuss that, like if you do good things, you have to again come back and reap the benefits.
So what's wrong with that?
But I think they are doing good karma for themselves, not for the Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. No, Prabhu point he pointed out, right? You're always will be in the cycle of repeated birth and death. That's the kind of main this point here. But if you do Krishna conscious activity,
there won't be any reaction.
What happens to the activities?
Back to God.
Now what happens to the activity, particular activity? Do you gain anything? Like
there is no reaction.
There is no reaction, right? Yeah. So you won't accrue any karma.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
Krishna is also known as Mukunda.
And what's the definition of Mukunda? What's the meaning of Mukunda?
Satsyapati.
Exam question. Mukund is coming after a long time.
Looks like you all forgot the chapter.
First chapter Mukund was there. It was in the exam also. There you are
forgetting. That's the new gift liberation.
Who gives liberation, Mukunda?
So actually, so in this verse, now Krishna is introducing a different topic, which is going to continue from now on. It's called Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay, it's basically Nishkama Karma Yoga means Kama is desire, Nishkama means no desire, Karma is work, Yoga is work in connection with the Supreme. So Nishkama Karma Yoga means performing work dovetailed to service of the Lord, actually literal meaning. Or in general, the term is also used to mean performing work with detachment to results. Like in general also, Nishkama Karma Yoga means you just do work for the sake of doing it, like as Krishna is asking, but without any expectation of results or enjoyment of the results. So that's what here is saying, do thou fight for the sake of fighting. Just because you have to fight, you fight. Not because you know I gain this, that's why I'll fight, I lose this, I don't fight. Then it becomes karma, like I desire something. Right? If I win, I'll gain something. If I lose, I'll lose something. Then it's all karma. Nishkama means, this is actually principle of mode of goodness. So the three modes, right? We have ignorance, passion and ignorance. Sorry, ignorance and passion is goodness. So actually, these qualities are described in 14th and 16th and 18th chapter. Like actually, everything is divided into three modes. Like food in three modes, what are the different types of food in three modes, action in three modes, renunciation in three modes. All these things are there. Very, very interesting section. So there, for example, ignorant person, when he works, what happens? He doesn't know what is good, what is bad. So he contributes. He thinks, for example, these days, many people, they take the name of religion, but they do a lot of violence, right? So these are people in ignorance, where they think good to be bad and bad to be good. Completely opposite. And passion people are, they do work to gain their own profit. Mainly, like, you know, typically these days, all of us are in passion. Mostly, you know, we work hard to get promotion, to get money, so that we can enjoy all those things. But mode of goodness is doing a duty just because I have to do my duty. In that case, like for example, let's say Microsoft, like okay, eventually, or any company, eventually we want to get promotion, right? But somehow, for some reason, we did our best, right? And okay, we assume that everybody made a fair judgment, right? But still we didn't get promoted. So at that point, we get disappointed, thinking, you know, oh, I'll be left, so I'll quit, you know, I'll change jobs. Of course, practically we can do if we know that there's really something going wrong there. But otherwise, okay, I did my best, that's what I did, and then this is what results I am getting. It's okay, I'll continue doing my duty. So then that platform is mode of goodness. So that's what here, but actually what wonderful thing you see is, Prabhupada in the purports, he will connect everything to bhakti. See, if you just read this verse, actually in Nishkama Karma Yoga platform, is in mode of goodness. We could just stop it there. But if you see the purport, what Prabhupada is talking about is Nishkama Karma Yoga applied with bhakti. That is seen in the second line where Krishna says, Lord Krishna now directly says that Arjuna should fight for the sake of fighting because he desires the battle. See, actually in the translation there is nowhere mentioned that Krishna, okay, I desire the battle, you fight. Right? Did he say? He said you fight because for the sake of fighting. But because Prabhupada knows what is Krishna's intention, what is the whole thing about, so he's saying Krishna desires the battle and Arjuna has to fight because of that. So there are two, if Arjuna fights because Krishna desires it, then it becomes Nishkama Karma Yoga with bhakti. What is Nishkama Karma Yoga? Is doing work without attachment to results. One point is giving up results. Other point is giving up results for the pleasure of the Lord, then it becomes bhakti. Okay, there are two bases, the two categories of Nishkama Karma Yoga. We thought we'll not discuss this, but I think now we came, we'll just briefly discuss. So let's say somebody is in the platform of knowledge, like, you know, I am not the body, I am the soul. That's how much they know. Let's say maybe little bit they are realized. And in that platform, because I know I am the soul, but I have, soul means I am active, right? I cannot keep quiet. So I have to do some duty according to some, whatever somebody is assigned or something, right? So I do my duty, but because I am not the body, I don't want to do anything with these results. So I just abandon the results. I don't know these days how many people are there, but let's say this is one definition. So this person is also doing Nishkam Karma Yoga, but he has no connection with devotional service, he has no connection with Krishna. But other side, somebody who is a practicing devotee and he performs in this platform, okay, I have to do my duty, but I will do my duty for the pleasure of the Lord. Either results I will give to the Lord or the results I will engage in service of the Lord. See, he is also not attached to results because he is not enjoying for himself, but he is using the results for the Lord. So that becomes bhakti. So this is Nishkama Yoga, Karma Yoga with bhakti. So it is described that this, the second one is more higher, because this gradually leads him to Krishna's lotus feet and eventually to Goloka Vrindavan. But the first person, at the most he may get liberation, because there is no concept of Krishna, impersonal liberation like Brahman, Brahma Jyoti, like that. So if you see what Prabhupada is translating us for us is, translating that plain Nishkama Karma Yoga into Nishkama Karma Yoga applied in bhakti. That's the wonder you will gradually realize. Many concepts will come like Ashtanga Yoga, you know, Dhyana Yoga, all these types of yoga. Even though word says, you know, yogi has to meditate and breathe everything, we will see how Prabhupada applies that to, you know, practically for a bhakti yogi, what it means. So you'll never miss the point about devotional service all through this chapter, Bhagavad Gita.
But the Nishkama Karma Yoga is at the bodily plane.
No, not bodily plane. It's a spiritual plane. It's with the understanding that I am not the body. Okay. Basically, it starts there. Understanding that I am not the body. One person who acts at just that level is first person. Hmm. Like, you know, one kind of person. Yeah. One person who acts with, I am not the body, but I am Krishna's servant. Right? That is more higher. So that person knows how to connect the results to Krishna, second person. So he is doing Nishkama Karma Yoga in bhakti, basically with bhakti. Okay, so that's one thing. And the second point is, Prabhupada is making, is like, okay, without consideration of profit, gain, all this, you know, dualities, one should perform work just for the sake of Krishna in transcendental consciousness. So again he's translating, instead of saying, you know, one should perform work because one has to work. Prabhupada could have said that, but he said because one should perform work because for the sake of Krishna, he says. So he's coming to bhakti. So here actually, so that's what Arjuna is going to come to. Because he is going to eventually fight because Krishna wanted him to fight. Instead of saying, okay, it's my duty to fight, I'm fighting. Right there, see again two platforms. It's my duty to fight, I'm going to fight, it's mode of goodness platform. That's what actually Krishna is trying to at least bring Arjuna. But Arjuna finally when he fights because Krishna wants him to fight. Then he is fully Krishna conscious. So when one is fully Krishna conscious, what happens is, there is no consideration of material dualities. One rises above material dualities. So, how, for example, is like I was thinking, you know, how to relate so that you all can relate nicely. Here we know Arjuna. That's what happens eventually, right? He doesn't even his after starting to follow Krishna's instruction. What does he has to face? Somebody very dear to him gets
his own son
dies. So at that time, Arjuna of course felt bad and you know he's sad everything. But then he didn't his His desire to fight for the pleasure of the Lord didn't subside. So his service, he didn't stop. He didn't stop the service. Because then he is rising above these dualities. Right?
But as Kshatriya, he will be more angry that his son was killed and he will fight more.
Yeah, that's also, yeah, it could add in a positive way. Yeah. But he could also be depressed, like, you know, Krishna, on your name I'm fighting, okay, and my own son is dead, what protection are you going to give?
Okay.
I mean, it's a question of, yeah, faith. That's what we usually, you know, I'm trying to act based on your instructions, so everything should be safe. You know, my house, my insurance, nothing should go. When something happens and we think, oh, is it really Krishna? Is he really telling me to do? So other point, so practically for us is, if suppose devotees or somebody whom we consider, you know, a person who's guiding our lives, like Siksha Masters or Siksha Gurus, if they give us some instructions, basically Krishna's instruction or Krishna's representative's instructions should be taken in absolute terms, not in terms of dualities, in the sense of whether I can do or I cannot do, whether, you know, I have abilities to do, or whether, you know, I have, whether my health is good to do this. Got it? So Krishna's instruction, Krishna's representative instruction should be taken in absolute terms. Like I was trying to, I was trying to look for different examples, but I couldn't find, so I will share my own personal exchange. So what happened was, after we took initiation and everything, somehow something happened and I built one. I don't have any experience with websites as such, because I'm in software, but not like website related, like ASP.NET or whatever, nothing like that. But some WordPress related sites, simply I made for our Guru Maharaj. Then that was a fluke actually. Somehow it came. It was simple and made. But then Maharaj liked it very much, and then he said, okay, now you build an official website for me. I was shocked actually. Now that requires completely core, you know, this thing about websites. Some fluke I made something and now he's asking me to do and this. And I was like, I was thinking, oh, maybe it's going to happen like fluke like that, and I tried. But no, he wants very, very professional and all those things. So I struggled with that service, or rather, you know, to fulfill that instruction or desire, for almost like 2-3 years. But every time my thought was, I don't know how to build websites, how am I going to build? Instead of like, okay, because we hear so many times, right? If spiritual master gives instruction, he will also give the ability. He will give the empowerment to do it. That's the principle we hear. But we don't have realization yet, right? I was like, I couldn't practically understand how I will end up doing it. It's like I can't even envision. How will I do? I don't have any knowledge in this thing. So finally, after 2 years or something, it manifested, and of course somebody else came about, and then it all worked out, and of course finally Maharaj liked it, everything. So then when I shared this with our teacher, Radha Krishna Prabhu, he was giving some examples, then I was sharing, oh Prabhu, same thing happened to me. Like, you know, finally when we offered, then it's all very wonderful. Then he said, he told me very nice instruction. He told, initially when you received the instruction, you didn't have faith. It took 2-3 years for you to have that faith. Then it manifested. Got it? It's all about our faith. Initially, I didn't have faith, right? I was thinking my abilities, okay, how will I get? Instead of thinking that somehow I'll get the transcendental power, all those things, I didn't know. So it took 2 years for me to purify, to have that faith. Then it manifested. So then I was thinking, yeah, that's how we should take instructions in an absolute. Like for example, if devotees suddenly say, no, apply for a full-time job, we may think, oh no, you know, I don't know much, you know, I don't know how to do. If you do like that, then, you know, we are not focusing on the strength of the blessing we are getting. We just take it and, you know, sincerely apply our heart and do it, then they will be pleased and Krishna will be pleased.
But those instructions, the instruction in the book is for the spiritual piece, right? Not for the material world. Like, when instructions are given for the spiritual world, that's when you should have faith and you should follow that. Versus, I mean, this is not like in the material world, so just do the same thing without faith. Like,
oh,
I mean,
these instructions, usually the spiritual mentors, they give for spiritual benefit only, right?
Yeah.
They don't give for, like, you know, to get you more, you know, high in your career, like, you know, for my material progress. They don't give, right?
Oh, yeah.
Assumption is Krishna and Krishna's representative, They just care about our spiritual welfare. They don't give in terms of, we are not talking about maybe, you know, mentors at Microsoft have faith in them and, you know, just follow their instruction. It's not like, they don't have any concept of spirituality. Yeah, so. Okay, so this is okay. But the point is, this happens, like, you know, the Prabhu was mentioning, right, if we do in Krishna consciousness, we don't get reactions. But when will that happen? There is one clause there. Can anybody point that out? What is the qualification?
Completely surrendered.
Completely surrendered himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Then only, whatever activities we do, we will not get reactions. But how much ever we lack in that, that much ever we have to face. So it's a percentage. If only 1% we are Krishna conscious, 1% we will be protected from reactions and rest of it we have to face. So that's why when we face ups and downs in our lives, there is no one to be blamed other than our own lack of Krishna consciousness. So I want to read the Surrender Unto Me, where Prabhu explained this point. Just we'll, you can just concentrate on hearing. Text number 38. This connects with, you know, whatever so far we discussed. So it's like a summary and, you know, change of theme. So you can listen carefully. Text number 38. Arjuna reasoned earlier that fighting the battle would cause him to suffer prolonged sinful reactions. Yeah, that's what Prabhu was telling, Rajesh. But here, Krishna explains that no sin will be incurred by one who executes his duty in the proper consciousness. Right? So he defeats that argument of Arjuna. Okay, now this is connecting the previous discussion so far to this verse. Previously in verses 11 to 30, to remove Arjuna's arguments against fighting, Krishna presented jnana, the difference between the body and the soul. Which is like all this, you know, soul never dies, body always perishes, these things, right? Sankhya Yoga, 11 to 30. Because Arjuna and other warriors are eternal souls, no one would die, only the body which unavoidably perishes can be slain. After presenting those arguments, Krishna encouraged Arjuna to fight based on fruitive considerations, karma, to gain pleasure and to avoid suffering. So that is the next section. Last few verses we talked, right, where Krishna was talking most, as Prabhu was telling, from mundane like platform. Or rather, you know, how we consider, like, oh, you will gain this, otherwise you will gain infamy, all those things, right? So this is a platform of karma. So what you gain, which is like gaining pleasure and avoiding suffering. Now, so now what's going to happen now is, now Krishna instructs Arjuna to combine both. What are the both? Jnana, knowledge, which is the Sankhya Yoga, and karma activity. Got it? First we discussed about Sankhya Yoga, jnana. Next it was karma. So now is jnana plus karma. So that means to fight without material attachment. So do the activity, karma, in jnana. Do the karma in jnana that you are the soul. Is it too technical? I don't know. Okay. Working in this detached consciousness is called Nishkama Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. Detached work on the platform of knowledge. So Nishkama Karma Yoga is also called detached work on the platform of knowledge. Because knowledge that I am not the body. Srila Balladev Vidya Bhushana defines Buddhi Yoga as Nishkama Karma Yoga incorporating jnana within itself. So the last paragraph here. And then Prabhu talks about two kinds of Nishkama Karma Yoga we discussed, right? One doesn't have knowledge of Krishna, but the other one who does this Nishkama Karma Yoga for Krishna, and he talks which is beneficial, that's we discussed that. Krishna in this verse has directly instructed Arjuna to fight, though his order is in the form of requesting Arjuna to fight dutifully for the sake of fighting. Right? His order was do for the sake of fighting. He didn't say do because I am saying. Actually, Arjuna's fighting will ultimately be impelled by his desire to fulfill this order of Krishna. Right? It's not in the mode of goodness. It's in the bhakti. That is bhakti. Krishna wants Arjuna to fight on his order as a surrendered servant with bhakti, detached from the results. In this way, Arjuna will remain sinless. So if you do bhakti, then we could become sinless. So, yeah, I think that's the... So everybody understands, right? How the whole progression is happening.
Can you reiterate? I got like 11 to 30 is about jnana, not yeah. your soul. Okay, and then
after that, next discussion karma. Is about karma, right? Where Krishna sir talks about, you know, you will gain victory when you will enjoy the kingdom. Otherwise, you know, worst case, you'll go to heavenly planets if you die. Or otherwise, you know, you'll get infamy. Then, you know, people will scorn you. So, these are all in the platform of what you gain, what you don't gain.
What,
so,
it's
karma.
Is it fruitive activity?
Yes,
it's karma.
Fruitive.
Okay.
Because Krishna is talking in terms of what Arjuna gains,
yeah.
what he loses. So, it's fruitive.
Okay.
So, this is karma platform. And now, he's going to talk how to do karma in the platform of knowledge, jnana. The combination of jnana and karma. So that is detached work in the platform of knowledge, which is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So basically acting with the knowledge that I am the soul, acting with the knowledge that I am Krishna's servant. Okay. Yeah, this concept is very, Nishkama Karma is very, the first time we are getting introduced, so we spend quite a bit of time.
Instant is like non-desire.
Yeah, you
when
don't
you
desire for
don't
yourself.
Desire. But then detached means you have the knowledge.
No, detached also same. Detached means you don't have any attachment for the
attachment
outcomes.
The results.
No attachment for the results, okay.
Mm-hmm. Text 39 talks about that more detail.
Yeah, text now from now on, actually 39 to 48, it's all about Krishna is going to explain how to apply this Nishkama Karma Yoga. 39-48. It's also called Buddhi Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. So how to do this Nishkama Karma Yoga is explained in by Krishna now.
Okay, text 39.
Thus far, I have described this knowledge to you through analytical study. Now listen as I explain it in terms of working without fruitive results. O son of Pratha, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from the bondage of works.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the same point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So far Krishna described Samkhya Yoga, which is knowledge of soul, body, how they are different, all those things. Now he is saying, I am going to explain the terms of working without fruitive results, basically Nishkama Karma Yoga. By doing so, you can gradually become free from bondage of works.
Works
so while working, there is a way to work in a way that you will not get bondage also. It's not inactivity. You can do work but still remain not entangled. So that's the key. That's what is going to tell.
There is a class of like the people who follows. I think it's close to Buddhism, I think, right? They always emphasize on inactivity. Like, you know, neti, neti, neti. They don't want to do this. They don't want to use their senses. They try to avoid the senses, you know, to do any activity. They think, you know, if they involve in any activity, that means they get the reaction. So they completely, you know, try to, as much as possible, they try to avoid doing things. I think that's close to Buddhism. Yeah,
the monks who do the...
Yeah, they do a lot of meditation. Right? It's actually Buddhism, actually, they do that. Neti, neti, but anyway, so that doesn't work. Because our senses are so active and it has to be engaged. And because we are soul, as a soul is itself is so active, so it doesn't work. It doesn't, you know, give us the... So this is more practical, right? Engaging the senses and...
Okay, let's read the... Before the purport, let's read the like overview of this to get the context. Same, similar points, but let's... So in text 11 to 30, Krishna described jnana, knowledge, as the difference between spirit and matter or the soul and the body. The activities of Jnana Yoga are basically the same as those of Samkhya Yoga, that is analytical study of matter and spirit. To practice either, okay, this is the point. One must renounce all activities and practice meditation. So Samkhya Yoga, in order to follow Samkhya Yoga, one must renounce activities and practice meditation. Krishna, however, has consistently instructed Arjuna in another way. He has told him to work in a renounced spirit, not to renounce activity.
Mm-hmm.
See, from the beginning, he always told, do in a renounced spirit. Means renounce results, but not renounce activity. Verse 39 hints that analytical study Sankhya means the renunciation of activity. So here in 39 also there is a word Sankhya, right? So this indicates that one has to renounce activity, which if successfully performed elevates one to jnana. So this is also another way. If you renounce activities gradually, eventually you will come to platform of jnana, that you are not the body. But Krishna does not recommend that Arjuna renounce his activity. He therefore explains the benefits of action, not renunciation of activity, and says that action should be executed in knowledge with the understanding jnana that one is not his body. So what needs to be changed is doing the action, basically consciousness has to be changed. Doing the same action with the consciousness that I am not the body, that's what we need to do. Not that giving up the activity. Krishna encourages Arjuna to listen attentively and to hear. See, he says, right? Shrunu. Shrunu means hear. Many times Krishna says, Arjuna, please hear. Listen attentively to and hear how to become free from sinful reactions. So that's what Krishna is going to give the technique.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Yeah, now we can
Purport. According to Nirukti or the Vedic dictionary, Sankhya means that which describes things in detail, and Sankhya refers to that philosophy which describes the real nature of the soul.
Oh, that's wonderful, Prabhu. You got the style. That's very nice. So first is Prabhu studied as Sankhya. A is extended, but first A is small. Mm. But next one is Sankhya.
Mm.
Right, so the whichever has a line on top, that has to be extended. Yeah.
And yoga involves controlling the senses. Arjuna's proposal not to fight was based on sense gratification. Forgetting his prime duty, he wanted to cease fighting because he thought that by not killing his relatives and kinsmen, he would be happier than by enjoying the kingdom after conquering his cousins and brothers, the sons of Dhritarashtra. In both ways, the basic principles were first sense gratification. Happiness derived from conquering them and happiness derived by seeing kinsmen alive are both on the basis of personal sense gratification, even at a sacrifice of wisdom and duty. Krishna, therefore, wanted to explain to Arjuna that by killing the body of his grandfather, he would not be killing the soul proper. And he explained that all individual persons, including the Lord himself, are eternal individuals. They were individuals in the past, they are individuals in the present, and they will continue to remain individuals in the future, because all of us are individual souls eternally. We simply change our bodily dress in different manners, but actually we keep our individuality even after liberation from the bondage of material dress.
So in this context, I heard one Prabhupada lecture, so he was giving one example, very nice, the analogy, right? Here, we think we lose the individuality, right? That's we merge into Krishna, whatever, that, you know, losing individuality. But here, it's very clear that we retain the individuality even after, you know, go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada was giving example, like, you know, you have a green tree, like a tree, which is green. And we are all birds, like, you know, he was giving like a parrot, green parrot. So once it goes and, you know, flies and sits on the tree, as it seemingly it looks like
merged.
It's merged, right, to the tree. But even sitting in the tree, it has its own individuality. It never loses in. So we are like exactly like that. Even you know, they say, you know, we are all going to merge. So like basically the Brahman, they say that Brahman, but even when you go that merging, so you'll always have that individual, you know, identity. You'll never lose the identity. And also the other, the example he was giving was, you know, the aeroplane, taking care of the plane, right? Once it takes off, you will see. So slowly, you know, as gradually it goes away from you, it seemingly it looks like it's merging into the sky, right? If seeing it's at some point of time, it goes into the sky. So that doesn't mean, you know, it completely merges into the sky. If you go on the other side and see, it will be, you know, it's still, it has the identity. So, I, you know, it's very nice example to relate. Yes.
An analytical study of the soul and the body has been very graphically explained by Lord Krishna. And this descriptive knowledge of the soul and the body from different angles of vision has been described here as Sankhya in terms of the Nirukti dictionary. This Sankhya has nothing to do with the Sankhya philosophy of the theist Kapila. Long before the imposter Kapila's Sankhya, the Sankhya philosophy was expounded in the Srimad Bhagavatam by the true Lord Kapila, the incarnation of Lord Krishna, who explained to his mother Devahuti. It is clearly explained by him that the Purusha, or the Supreme Lord, is active and that he creates by looking over the Prakriti. This is accepted in the Vedas and in the Gita. The description in the Vedas indicates that the Lord glanced over the Prakriti or nature and impregnated it with atomic individual souls. All these individuals are working in the material world for sense gratification, and under the spell of material energy, they are thinking of being enjoyers. This mentality is dragged to the last point of liberation when the living entity wants to become one with the Lord. This is the last snare of Maya or sense gratificatory illusion, and it is only after many, many births of such sense gratificatory activities that a great soul surrenders onto Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, thereby fulfilling the search after the ultimate truth.
Just reflect on some of the points. So all these things we already knew, right? All the Sankhya, we followed, it's very clear, right? The purport. Can somebody summarize like what we discussed so far? So that, you know, we are digesting what we are reading. So how does the flow of the purport go? So Arjuna, Prabhupada is explaining why, what is the Sankhya, right? According to Nirukti dictionary, Sankhya means explaining things in detail, or Sankhya, and Sankhya is philosophy which describes the near real nature of the soul. So then he talked about why Krishna talked about Sankhya. So for that he says that because Arjuna was calculating based on sense gratification, either victory or defeat, it's all based on sense gratification. So he explained that. Then he says because of that, in order to raise him above that bodily platform, he gives the knowledge of the soul. Right? That's how he describes the Sankhya. Where he talks about that, you know, all are eternal souls. Even if you kill, they are not going to die. Right? So that's why you should do, but still you should continue to do this view. And this philosophy is the Sankhya philosophy. And then Prabhupada goes to the next point, which is actually best way to read, if there is long purport, is to identify sections and write one line about that.
Yeah.
This section, this is the main point. This section, this is the main point. Then we can understand the flow. Like in a proper thought process. And the next section he talks about how this Sankhya philosophy is different from atheistic Sankhya. There is also, if this Sankhya is given by Kapila, there is Sankhya given by Kapila in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is bona fide, which is according to Vedas. But whereas there is somebody else also called atheistic Kapila, we don't know his philosophy, at least not here, we don't know much also. So, but he propounded an atheistic conclusion. Prabhupada is clarifying here that, you know, this is different. And he then briefly starts talking about what is the Kapila Dev's Sankhya philosophy. So, Kapila Dev's Sankhya philosophy talks about how creation takes place, where the Lord glances the Prakriti and living entities are injected into the Prakriti. And after that, because of spell of material energy, the living entities are trying to be enjoyers. And the maximum effect of Maya is that one thinks one is, one can become one with the Lord. So there are two types of, you know, two extremities of Maya. One is to think that I am a body. That is like, you know, completely materialistic. And slowly as we go beyond that, the final thing is to think I am God. Both are Maya. Either I am body or thinking I am God. Right? Both are Maya. So that's why Prabhupada is the last snare of Maya. So one should get out of that also. They get out of the feeling that I can become God or I am God. one has to come to only the conclusion that I am servant of God. So that one comes after many, many births. We know this verse, right? Which verse is this? After many, many births, one surrenders unto Krishna. 7.19. So Krishna says, after many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So after many, many births, one actually comes to Krishna and surrenders. So that's why devotees are very rare. You know, they are very special. So all the impersonalists and all this, you know, proper saying, all the people who are in self-gratification, they take many lives of self-gratification. Then finally, when they got fed up, they will try to surrender to Krishna. Okay, so that's the whole sequence.
So this creation process is in Srimad Bhagavatam. So don't worry too much about it. It's very very detailed.
Whole
and
canto,
very,
you know, chapter.
Yeah, it's about first two cantos. It's about creation. Actually. Here Prabhupada is just explaining it in one word, saying, you know, he creates looking over Prakriti. But there are a lot of details into that, you know, how really it happens. So, that, yeah, you don't have to worry, but you just know that, you know, there's a Supreme Lord who creates all of us, basically, who, you know, by looking over the...
Arjuna has already accepted Krishna as his Supreme Master by surrendering himself unto him.
Shishya Stehum Sadhimam Swam
Spiritual Master.
Consequently, Krishna will now tell him about the working process in Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga, or in other words, the practice of devotional service only for the sense gratification of the Lord. This Buddhi Yoga is clearly explained in chapter 10, verse 10, as being direct communion with the Lord, who is sitting as Paramatma in everyone's heart. But such communion does not take place without devotional service. One who is therefore situated in devotional or transcendental loving service to the Lord, or in other words, in Krishna consciousness, attains to this stage of Buddhi Yoga by the special grace of the Lord. The Lord says, therefore, that only to those who are always engaged in devotional service out of transcendental love does He award the pure knowledge of devotional love. In that way, the devotee can reach in easily in the ever blissful kingdom of God.
So here in this purport, what Prabhupada is mainly describing from the related to the verse.
Buddhi.
Yeah. So he's trying to explain the term Buddhi Yoga. So if you look at the Sanskrit, third line, Buddhya Yukto, right? So the Buddhi Yoga term is used here. So Prabhupada is now defining what is Buddhi Yoga. So first of all, first he says that because Arjuna has already surrendered, so Krishna is now telling him the process, because Arjuna is now ready to listen what Krishna says. So he is telling him Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga. That means practical devotional service done only for the pleasure of the Lord. And this Buddhi Yoga will be explained in more detail in 10th chapter, verse number 10. So if you just go to that verse, 10.10, you will see that Buddhi Yoga is used.
Tesham satato yuktanam tajatam priti purvakam dadami Buddhi Yoga mutam.
So third line is Buddhi Yoga, right? Buddhi Yoga. So to those, the translation is, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So here Buddhi Yoga means the knowledge, intelligence by which they can come to Krishna. Who gives that intelligence? Krishna says. Krishna says, I give the understanding. But for whom? A person who is devoted to Krishna with love. So if a person is engaged in devotional service, Krishna gives the Buddhi Yoga, intelligence, to come to Krishna. Got it? So that is the concept of Buddhi Yoga. So that's what Prabhupada is saying here. This Buddhi Yoga has to be applied in one has to be situated in transcendental loving service of the Lord in order for Buddhi Yoga to happen. If you look at one is therefore situated in, one who is therefore situated in devotional or transcendental loving service of the Lord, or in other words in Krishna consciousness, attains the stage of Buddhi Yoga by special grace of the Lord. Because the Lord gives the knowledge, intelligence. So that's why the Lord says in 10.10 we read there, only to those who are engaged in devotional service out of transcendental love does he award the pure knowledge of devotion and love. So Buddhi Yoga comes to only people who are engaged in devotional service.
So Mataji, earlier you said Buddhi Yoga is same as Nishkam Karma, right?
Yeah, Buddhi Yoga, Bhakti Yoga.
But now we are talking about intelligence. Yeah,
Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, Buddhi Yoga, in one way Prabhupada also calls this as Bhakti Yoga.
Hmm.
Right? See here. See, if you do third line, consequently Krishna will now tell him about working process in Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga. Or in other words, practice of devotional service only for the sense gratification. See, that's what happens. Eventually, all yoga's purpose is Bhakti Yoga. That's what. Buddhi Yoga, Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga.
Mm.
Everything purpose is Bhakti Yoga. Devotional
because
service.
The result is, yeah.
Because for us, he connects everything to service to the Lord.
Mm.
But in specifically here, especially 10.10, the way Buddhi Yoga is defined is the intelligence by which you can come to the Lord.
Right.
But that intelligence means...
comes from God only. You cannot play.
No. But that intelligence means what? By acting in that intelligence, you do devotional service, right?
Mm.
Basically, you do it in the yoga.
If Krishna gives intelligence, means what? See, for example, I'm trying to do something, some activity, and it's not favorable to Krishna consciousness. So Krishna from within or from outside, through devotees or through spiritual master, he will say, don't do this. So then he's giving intelligence how to come to him. Because by doing this activity, we're not going to come closer to him, right? But by following that, what does it mean to follow that? It means to do devotional service. By not doing it, you are actually doing devotional service to Krishna, right?
Mm.
It's not really the intelligence which we think. This is applied intelligence. Intelligence applied in devotion.
Realized knowledge.
Exactly, okay. Yes.
Realized,
yeah.
Knowledge. Knowledge is one thing, realized knowledge is different thing. Right? Knowledge is the theory.
Mm-hmm.
Realize not jnana, vijnana, right? It's a
realized
knowledge.
You have to turn the knowledge into activity.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
So, Buddhi Yoga, when Krishna gives intelligence, the way you apply that is by doing that activity which is nothing but devotional service.
Mm.
So, that's why Buddhi Yoga is same as Bhakti Yoga again.
That's why he relates, it's like a synonyms, right? He uses Buddhi Yoga, Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Right? They're all synonyms actually, in one sense.
See, Buddhi Yoga, maybe in literal sense, if you have to take, using your intelligence to do activities such a way that you connect to Krishna.
I think in the purport of 10.10, third paragraph, they have explained that. The answer to this question, Buddhi Yoga, what do you do in Buddhi Yoga and Karma Yoga?
Yeah, actually it's
detailed.
It says when a person knows the goal of life,
mm-hmm.
but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in Karma Yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in Jnana Yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotion service, he is acting in Bhakti Yoga or Buddhi
Yoga. Yeah, see Bhakti Yoga.
Which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest professional stage of life. But here this paragraph though tends to say that there is
karma
a
yoga
between
is
karma and
karma, yeah.
Yeah.
So karma yoga in one sense Prabhupada calls it in a proper karma yoga, which is like karma yoga applied in Krishna service. Mm. That is real, that's okay.
Is
but that karma yoga is mostly is referring to
fruity
karma,
fruity
activity.
But
Buddhi
Yoga is a Nishkama Karma Yoga.
Yeah.
Actually, Buddhi Yoga in real sense is Krishna consciousness devotional service. Right? Nishkama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga applied in Bhakti will become, because there are two types of Nishkama Karma Yoga, right? If you just take a plain Nishkama Karma Yoga, then it doesn't become Krishna consciousness. But if you do work for Krishna, then again it's devotional service, again it's Nishkama Karma Yoga. Right? So like that. Everything becomes one.
Anyway, that's the Prabhupada is, you know, bringing everything to Bhakti Yoga. Yeah. That's his.
So that's wonderful thing about this. You never miss the point about what's the conclusion, because we are very confused, right? We'll be so bewildered with so many terms, the definitions, and okay, what am I supposed to define? Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Yoga. So Prabhupada leaves us with one conclusion. All you do is Krishna consciousness, devotional service, all activities engage in Krishna service for Krishna's pleasure under the direction of devotees. That's all. It's simple.
Thus, the Buddhi Yoga mentioned in this verse is the devotional service of the Lord. And the word Sankhya mentioned herein has nothing to do with the atheistic Sankhya Yoga enunciated by the imposter Kapila. One should not, therefore, misunderstand that the Sankhya Yoga mentioned herein has any connection with the atheistic Sankhya. Nor did the philosophy have any influence during that time. Nor would Lord Krishna care to mention such godless philosophical speculations. Real Sankhya philosophy is described by Lord Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But even that Sankhya has nothing to do with the current topics.
He only introduced all those definitions. Now he's saying, you know, it's not related. Otherwise, we didn't even know this, right?
Yeah. So it might
just
be
a warning for
somebody. The time when this was written, you know, there was like definitely some other person who was trying to, you know, prophesy something else, and they are trying to refute that, right? I mean.
Sankhya
means we discuss Sankhya in the word, it's in the
Prabhuji. I'm curious, like, what is the atheistic Sankhya philosophy?
Anyway, we also don't know, but there is something like that. That's why Prabhupada is mentioning.
Now I want to know, because we have...
Why you want to know something about the right proper...
Then you will know what to do.
Exactly.
You know what is that mystic Sankhya.
Now, how do we get the atheistic Sankhya philosophy? How do we...
It will be so precise, you will know.
Why you want to know?
Prabhuji doesn't want you to do that.
What Prabhupada gives example is, right? For example, it's a proven fact that if you touch fire, you will burn. Right? Prabhupada says that. You know fire is going to burn if you touch. It's like that Prabhupada is giving a warning. He's saying many times he's imposter. So if you still want to go and search, it's like that. You know, you want to go test the fire.
Something it's like this. There in Italy, there was always roads. There were like very dangerous roads. The hairpin bend, and cars used to go over the bend. So they used to drive faster and go over the bend because people are looking around, there were boats down, right? So they actually put a law, big board which says, don't look at the boats. They found out that because they put the board, the accidents went up.
They
should remove the board, right?
Yeah, they removed the board then after that.
So that was the tradition.
No, anyway, because Prabhupada already knows all this. Because we didn't study, we don't know a lot of things, right? Like how the philosophy, how the different class of philosophers and all. Prabhupada already know all that. So he doesn't want us to again go and do research and all.
Okay.
He's already defined him as an imposter.
Yeah.
If you want to know real Sankhya philosophy, he's mentioning all the Lord Kapila.
You
can always read, it's not...
Here, Sankhya means analytical description of the body and the soul. Lord Krishna made an analytical description of the soul just to bring Arjuna to the point of Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, Lord Krishna's Sankhya and Lord Kapila's Sankhya as described in the Bhagavatam are one and the same. They are all Bhakti Yoga. Lord Krishna said, therefore, that only the less intelligent class of men make a distinction between Sankhya Yoga and Bhakti Yoga.
Let's read the next three lines also.
Yeah. Of course, atheistic Sankhya Yoga has nothing to do with Bhakti Yoga. Yet, the unintelligent claim that the atheistic Sankhya Yoga is referred to in the Bhagavad Gita.
Pause there, one second. So here, what are the main points Prabhupada is talking about? He's saying that actually what is Bhakti Yoga? It's devotion service. And he says, how is it related to Sankhya Yoga, right? So this Sankhya Yoga, which Krishna talked about in Bhagavad Gita, is actually not related to Sankhya Yoga of Kapila, even proper Kapila of Srimad Bhagavatam. And also it's not related to imposter Kapila at all. Right? But in one sense it's related to, or rather similar to Sankhya Yoga, proper Sankhya Yoga described in Bhagavatam, because the conclusion is the same. Because here Krishna is describing the soul and the body, description of the soul, by which eventually he wants Arjuna to come to devotional service. That's the point. And the point about Kapila Sankhya is also about coming to devotional service. So that way, in that sense, they both are same. So in the sense, they have the same purpose to achieve. And the next point Prabhupada is telling is that only less intelligent class of men differentiate between Sankhya Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. So this Sankhya Yoga Pritad Bala Pravadanti Na Pandita. This is fifth chapter, fourth verse. Where, so we can just read, just for the context, 5.4. Where it's explained how Sankhya Yoga is similar to Buddhi Yoga, or actually same as Buddhi Yoga. This chapter, verse number 4, translation, only the ignorant speak of devotion service Karma Yoga. See, now devotion service is called Karma Yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world, Sankhya. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well on one of these paths achieves the results of both. So essentially both are same.
The result goal, yeah, the result goal.
So how it's same is, I can summarize the purport for you. So basically, Sankhya is about finding the root of existence. It's all about, you know, okay, I am like this, who is my father, who is my father, who is my father. Go back to find out who is the source. So it's all, but through analysis, like all, you know, not discerning knowledge. But whereas devotional service or Karma Yoga is about, okay, I accept Krishna as my source and I am his servant, I am going to do devotional service to him. So the conclusion is already, so what Sankhya is trying to research is the beginning point of devotional service. Got it? Sankhya eventually will come to the point that Krishna is the source. But devotional service starts with the point that Krishna is the source, I am going to do devotional service.
So one is ascending and one is descending. Ascending is you try to explore and reach. Maybe
yeah,
you cannot put it
yeah, because I'm not sure. Because Sankhya is also proper philosophy.
Yeah,
like it's,
yeah,
not a,
yeah, it's not a speculation.
Yeah, but one is about doing research. That's what we can say. One is about finding out. But other one is about accepting it already and following the devotional service. So it's as if like Sankhya is about finding the root of the tree, and devotion service is about watering the root of the tree. Right? I'm trying to find where is the root. And the other one is, I know the root, I'm going to water it. Like in sense, I'm going to serve the root. So that's the difference. But that way, in that, both, because both of them are related to Vishnu. The root is Vishnu. Both of them are same. See, verse says, only ignorant differentiate both, right? Because the person who finds the root, what will he do afterwards? He's going to do devotion service. Right? So that's in that sense they both are same. Sankhya Yoga and Buddhi Yoga are same because one is finding the root, other one is watering the root, and once you find the root, you are going to start watering the root. But only ignorant, they think they are different. Okay, just for the completion of the context here. Okay. Cool. And then Prabhupada says the atheistic, some people claim that actually the Sankhya Yoga is the atheistic Sankhya Yoga.
Yes. One should therefore understand that Bhakti Yoga means to work in Krishna consciousness in the full bliss and knowledge of devotional service. One who works for satisfaction of the Lord only, however difficult such work may be, is working under the principles of Bhakti Yoga and finds himself always in transcendental bliss. By such transcendental engagement, one achieves all transcendental understanding automatically by the grace of the Lord, and thus his liberation is complete in itself, without his making extraneous endeavors to acquire knowledge. There is much difference between work in Krishna consciousness and work for fruitive results, especially in the matter of sense gratification for achieving results in terms of family or material happiness. Buddhi yoga is therefore the transcendental quality of the work that we perform.
Okay, so again, another synonym for Buddhi Yoga is work in Krishna consciousness or devotion service. And then again, same 10.10, where one does this engagement, Krishna gives the knowledge automatically. Right? Krishna gives the understanding by which you can come to me. So that way, he automatically gains liberation without, and also knowledge, without acquiring, without making extraneous endeavors for knowledge. So now everybody knows what is Buddhi Yoga.
This has been the most difficult work in a long time.
It's a big purport.
So many concepts. So let's briefly summarize some points we caught. Just like that, some whatever points you understood.
Bhakti Yoga, Sankhya Yoga,
everything is
same.
Oh, Krishna.
Not everything is same.
There are subtleties, but
at least yeah. From Krishna's point of view, yeah, we can.
So subtle differences, but yeah. Right.
But it's all about connecting everything to Krishna. So that's how it's about.
That's good.
And I think the last paragraph, I think I can relate to your example, what you gave. Gottmead and the ASP part, right? I think it works well. At least we can remember next time.
Yeah, Krishna gives the intelligence. Yeah. We don't have faith. We think, you know, my ability. No, but Krishna gives the intelligence. And he gives the resources also.
Yeah.
So suddenly, you know, suddenly we come across something, you know, which gives some idea what to do. Or so ultimately what happened was, I'm not good at, I can learn little bit technical things. But I'm not, and Maharaj wanted everything very artistic. And I'm not good at, you know, making images in this PDF for all those creators. Ultimately what happened, how it worked is, there was one, my, another devotee. She is very good at creating images. But she doesn't know technical aspect, like how to build site. So we both came together. She used to create team and give screenshots to me. I used to implement it. That's how it worked. Because I knew that I cannot ever reach in this life. So, you know, Krishna sent her somehow. So then it worked out. So that I also got some credit of struggling for so many years.
Yeah, the other practical thing I can think of is, you know, which I have seen personally, you know, how Krishna helps. If you are sincere and you want to, you know, really help others also take up devotional service. So this was, I think, in 2005 when I came here. So they had a very old house here, right? This place was an old house. So then Arivilas Prabhu, that time only he got an idea, you know, thinking there should be a temple here. We should construct a new temple. And I know there were only, like, you know, 25-30 people. That's all in the congregation, if you say, you know, people who are come regularly and who wants to really put time, they spend their time here. And Sundays, 75 people, that's the max in that house. 75 people, Sunday congregation, that's all. So then you thought, okay, let's build a temple. You can imagine, nobody, 25 people who are dedicated people, and 70-100 people are the community who wants to come, you know, every Sunday. But then he told, let's start, and Krishna will help. He has so much faith, and we are all, you know, shivering actually. You know, it's a big endeavor, right? If you want to, you know, commit to build something, fundraise. See, once you start fundraise, some people will give money. If you don't, you know, raise enough funds, and if you stop your plan, then what about people who have already given money? You get a bad name. And this temples and all, once you get a bad name, you know, right, how it is. Nobody will come in the future also, nobody will help you. But anyway, so Arivilas Prabhu's idea is, let's start fundraising. So then, with fundraising, of course, not many people will come front and give money. Because they know, you know, this mentality is, right? Some people they take money and run away like that, right? They have to see something, you know, in their eyes. Something should happen, then only. So then we start, he told, we had only $100,000, I remember still, $175,000 in the account, total, that for many years he had collected, you know, through the donations and all. Then he told, let's apply for permits, city permits. So he applied, they took $100,000 from that. Because city, you know, it's all the planning. And one designer who did all the design is from California. He did it for free because he used to live here. He's Arivilla's Prabhu friend. He's a civil engineer. Yeah, he's a civil engineering. He works in California, you know, the department something. So he did it for free. All this building drawings. Otherwise, you have to pay for drawings also, hundreds of thousand dollars you have to pay. Then, anyway, we got all the drawings free, but the permit city want, you know, for water, this, something for the police. If you want to, you know, start construction, there should be police in the front who make sure, you know, it doesn't block the traffic. They took $25,000, like that each one. Then he had only $50,000, I think, remaining. So we had to start the ground break, right? Then we start, okay, let's start the ground breaking and see how it goes. Then he took so bold steps. He thought, you know, let's do. Then he decided, he fixed the date also. We are going to start groundbreaking this, you know, we are going to demolish this building without money, without any money, very less money. He started all this plan. Then we were all just with him, but we don't have, you know, that much faith in Krishna. Krishna is going to come and really help. Then we are also like, yes, let's do Prabhuji, let's do, like, you know, this, whatever support we can do. Then, of course, he started the groundbreaking. And then when people start that, you know, really some construction is going on, then people started coming forward. People started giving donation and they knew something is happening. And when they start, you know, breaking down the old building, then people really came, you know, oh, we are going to, you know, we want to be part of it. Then it's all just, now you know, it's all just a story. It's just, it happened. This total cost was $4.6 million, this whole, you know, like a construction, everything was that much. I think we raised almost $2 million just within, and this was kind of fastest 18 months or something, if this building was done, opened in 18 months. So because he had so much of sincere, and now if you see, every inch of building is being used. If you see, whatever, you know, every inch of building gets used. But he had so much of, you know, the faith in Krishna, then for us all it was eye-opener. No, wow, Krishna. So, because Paramatma is within, that's why the what we are thinking is the intelligence. So, only Arivilas Prabhu can have that vision because his mind was clear and Paramatma is inside. So, he gives the intelligence actually what to do.
And purity also. See, that's what,
because he's practicing Krishna consciousness for so long and his desire is very
only
pure.
To please Krishna.
He says all the time, I don't even. Actually, I don't know whether you know much about him. He has a factory, right? The natural factory, the products. He makes all this natural, this thing. And in the temple also, he doesn't even have a room, like, you know, office room. Nobody has, you know, like, for example, he is a president here. He doesn't have even if you go find, you will not find his office or anything. He doesn't even have an office. Because his only sincere desire was not to have, you know, nice office space for him, like, not like, he wanted to help the community. So that was a sincere, and as Krishna is present in, you know, in his heart, he gives the intelligence what to do, you know, how to, basically his main goal was to give out Krishna consciousness to more people. And today if I see, you know, if you see Sunday evening, I don't know how many people come on Sunday evening, the minimum, if, you know, there is some game or something, right, minimum still there will be 300 people, minimum. And summer, like, you know, regular summer, all, there will be at least 400 people who are really committed and who has really helped, actually, including all of us, actually. That's how we came to, you know, took up Krishna consciousness and all. So, because Paramatma is inside, he gives the intelligence. That's how it works. So, that's how whenever I, you know, read something like this, yes, this is theory, but the practical is really that, actually. He is giving the intelligence from inside, what to do, you know, how to help people, right, you know, he gives the knowledge also. Because as we know, right, he is the one who, Paramatma is the one who gives intelligence, knowledge, forgetfulness, everything, is he is the one who grants all this to happen.
Okay, actually this one we remember from the class.
At least he gives intelligence. If you are sincere, yes, he gives the intelligence from inside. We know what to do. we will never become.